WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The Cannes Film Festival in France, the biggest and most important film festival, started 1 week ago and ends on Sunday. Henry Sheehan, who reviews films for Fresh Air, is at the festival. He went to the Radio France studio at the festival to talk with us about the films he's seen so far. This is Henry's first time at Cannes. I asked him first what the atmosphere is like.
People tell me it's subdued. It seems fairly hectic to me. The festival got off to a very glitzy bang. There was some worry that there would be a lack of stars because Hollywood ratcheted up their production schedules in case there had been a writer's strike, which there won't be, or an actor's strike, which I guess there still could be. So a lot of stars who might have come over here to make the scene or promote a picture are not here, but there was such a big to-do over Moulin Rouge, which was the opening night. It was a remarkable event. The usual opening screening with black tie for the men and the women in gowns. And then the studio, 20th Century Fox, erected this large building on the waterfront, three different rooms, all done in the decorated very elaborately in the style of the movie, which takes place in Paris in 1899. And, there was dancing. Nicole Kidman, who, of course, is the star of the movie, was there with the rest of the cast, but Nicole Kidman was really flashing her charisma. She DJ'd for some of the dancing, and there was they had the lined can-can dancers on the front steps of the Palais, which is the main building for the festival, to kind of salute her with their legs as the screening began. And then afterwards, at this post-screening party, the dancers changed into scantier costumes yet and performed for the guests. So it was kind of, La Dolce Vita right here on the Riviera.
What's the point of all that? I mean, obviously it's to sell the film, but how is this kind of, party and spectacle supposed to help sell the film?
Well, in this case, it's helping to open the film. Moulin Rouge is a very different kind of picture. It's a weird hybrid. It takes place in 1899 in Paris, and the director Baz Luhrmann has gone to a great deal of trouble building these huge sets and also using computer animation to make us think that we're actually back in that era. But at the same time, this is a musical now, mind you, and all the songs are from the 70s and 80s. Madonna's Material Girl, Your Song, that Elton John had a big hit with, and Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend is a big number for Nicole Kidman. So it's a kind of an oddball production, and being a musical, musicals don't do too well. So it has to say, before you hear of it in any other way, the studio wants you to hear that it's special, that it's big, that it's glossy, that it's star-driven. And it puts people in a certain frame of mind for the film. So I think from a marketing point of view, you can set the picture of your picture for the public.
It sounds like Moulin Rouge is the most hyped movie at the Cannes Film Festival this year. Did you like it?
Well, it's an extraordinary experience to watch the movie. I mean, literally, I have not seen anything like this before. I mean, it's set in Montmartre, and it's been recreated beautifully in these long shots. It looks like he's had his camera set up near the Eiffel Tower, and he's looking on the hill with Sacred Heart on the top, and the red windmill of the Moulin Rouge, and then in the sky, instead of just a regular moon, there's a moon with a face and a big mustache. For what's a romance, Ewan McGregor plays this young English writer. Nicole Kidman is a dancer with star ambitions at the Moulin Rouge. And, they fall in love and have the usual troubles with dreams and the realities of life. For something that's supposed to be very passionate on a very simple level, it's very artificial and very cold. So it's not a movie I came out of feeling terribly moved, but I have to say I was pretty impressed.
Another film I know you've already seen at the Cannes Film Festival is David Lynch's new movie, Mulholland Drive. And Lynch, of course, is best known for films like Eraserhead and Blue Velvet, and he did Twin Peaks. Tell us a little bit about this new movie. It's his first in several years, isn't it?
Well, it's the first one since The Straight Story.
Right.
But this is a much more like, I would say, in tone and in structure, kind of the Twin Peaks movie, although it's I think it's better. It's very strange in a way. I mean, the last 45 minutes is very strange. The first hour and a half, it's just under 2.5 hours, is kind of like this accessible and easily to follow kind of mystery thriller story that seems to be going somewhere, but it only you slowly begin to realize that it's plot manipulations, that its logic are all very dreamy, and it's not really heading in the very specific directions towards the solution of a mystery that you expect.
Todd Solondz has a new movie called Storytelling. His film Happiness, I thought, was really terrific. Have you seen the new one yet?
Yes, the Todd Solondz movie was one of the hardest movies to get into a screening of. It's not showing in the competition. It's in the Uncertain Regard section. And like a lot of Solondz movies, it attracted many cheers, but some vociferous boos when the screening was over. It's a two-part movie. The first part is, I think, one of the best things he's ever done, about a young woman in a writing course and the sexual experience she has and how she writes about it, and that's called Fiction. And then there's the second part is a longer series about a documentary filmmaker played by Paul Giamatti, who makes a movie about a kind of a slacker type in New Jersey. And there's some autobiographical elements, obviously, there. Giamatti's been made up to look very much like Solondz himself. I thought the second half didn't work as well. But like I say, the first part, which is only about 15 or 20 minutes, may be the best thing he's ever done.
What's the best movie that you've seen that you haven't yet mentioned?
One of the most interesting films in the festival is by Manuel de Oliveira, Portuguese filmmaker who was born in 1908 and who has been extremely busy over the 90s has been like his most fruitful decade, and he's going into the next century just as busy. This movie stars Michel Piccoli as a stage actor who comes off stage to find out that his wife, his daughter, and his son-in-law have all died in an auto accident. And he's been left alone with his grandson. And it's a very odd movie about him trying to put his life back together. And there's some very funny, if very dryly comic, sequences to it. Now, Michel Piccoli is, you know, he's not in his 90s like Oliveira, but, you know, he's an elderly man. He's well into his 60s. And he's hired to play, an American director played by John Malkovich hires him to play Buck Mulligan, a young man, in this weird screen version of Ulysses. And it's while he's trying to do that, that kind of all the tragedy in his life begins to emerge through this weird performance, this bad performance this French actor has to give as a young Irishman. And with Oliveira's films, you tend not to want to describe them to people because they sound so bizarre. But this is a very self-controlled movie that turns out to be extraordinarily moving. And I would bet that Piccoli would get Best Actor based on what I've seen so far. And the movie itself could well win a prize, too, as could Oliveira.
My guest is film critic Henry Sheehan. He's joining us from the Cannes Film Festival. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Henry Sheehan is joining us from the Cannes Film Festival in France. He reviews movies for Fresh Air. You're getting to see films from around the world at the festival. Are there any films from other countries that you'd really like to single out so if they come here, we'll hopefully remember them?
Well, Iran continues to be a terrific source of filmmaking, tremendous filmmakers there. Abbas Kiarostami, who did The Taste of Cherry, which won the grand prize here, I think it was 2 years ago, might have been 1 year ago, was here with a very strange movie called ABC Africa, in which he went to Africa into Uganda at the request of a group of women who fund orphanages to do a film on their work. And instead of making a conventional documentary, he used these very lightweight, very portable video cameras to show us the children who are orphaned and just show us. And it's remarkable what you can feel about other human beings just watching them, especially children at play. And I don't think, if it wasn't, normally I'm not very, you know, high on video technology, but if it wasn't for these lightweight, inexpensive cameras, Kiarostami could never have made this film. And it's a tremendous, I don't know, it sounds corny, but it's a tremendous reaching across to from one side of humanity to another. And it's a very light film in a way. But it's a movie I hope opens in the U.S. The other one was by another leading Iranian filmmaker called Mohsan Makhmalbef, called Kandahar, which was not a great film. It's about a woman, an Afghan woman, trying to get back and sneak back into Afghanistan because she's got a letter from her sister telling her that she's going to commit suicide. She's so depressed. But when you find out that the woman playing the woman in the film is not an actress, but an Afghan refugee living in Canada who got a letter from a friend saying that she was going to commit suicide because she was so depressed, and not knowing what else to do, she went to Makhmalbef and asked for his help, and he came up with the idea of making this movie. Then, you know, something that looks like maybe special pleading, something that looks like a too heavy-handed a message movie, suddenly looks like a very piercing look into the way life is actually lived in a great part of the globe.
What do you think the contenders are so far for Best Film?
Well, for Best Film so far, I would have to say No Man's Land is probably a competitor. You have to think about the jury at the Cannes Film Festival, and this jury is headed by Liv Ullmann. The president of the jury wields enormous influence over the jury, and she's a very serious woman who, you know, feels that films should comment on the human condition. So there's a film from Bosnia called No Man's Land that would probably be at the top tier of these angry war movies that come out of the former Yugoslavia. And I would think that she would be interested in that. The Coen brothers have a movie here, The Man Who Wasn't There. They're very well liked here. Of course, they won for Barton Fink. I didn't like the movie. It's a kind of James M. Cain-ish thing, starring Billy Bob Thornton. But the character he plays is so passive. I found it a very hard movie to relate to. But, you know, they definitely have their following here. There's no question about that.
Do you trust your reactions to the films you're seeing at the festival? Do you think you might respond to them differently at a press screening for three critics in your own hometown? Or going, you know, going on a Saturday night with an audience?
Well, you know, that's something, you know, that you believe that you come to control over your years of being a critic. And, I've been doing this, I guess, for more than 20 years now. So, you know, you do credit yourself with your ability to modulate your reaction to the atmosphere, to how many, you know, to whether you're seeing it at 8:30 in the morning or 8 in the evening, whether you're seeing it with two or three people or whether you're seeing it with a very enthusiastic crowd. Naturally, that's foolish to think that you've completely mastered that. So you have to be aware that you may be susceptible to that. I actually went back and saw the David Lynch movie Mulholland Drive a second time because I'd been so enthusiastic about it after I saw it the first time, and people asked me to describe it, and I felt I was describing a much inferior movie to what I had seen. So in fact, I just came back from seeing it again before this taping, and I'm more convinced than ever I was right the first time. So
the movies that you're seeing now, do you know when the rest of us will get to see them?
Well, you know, Shrek and Moulin Rouge are opening across the United States this month. Moulin Rouge is limited May 18th and goes wide on June 1st. Shrek goes very wide very soon. The other movies, it's very hard to say. You know, it's very strange what movies get picked up here. Like, for example, the Lynch movie, Mulholland Drive, does not have an American distributor yet. But an American distributor did pick up a very strange vampire movie by Claire Denis, the woman who directed Beau Travail. It's called Trouble Every Day. It takes place almost entirely in Paris. It stars the American actor Vincent Gallo. It's half in English, half in French. And it's about people who apparently have taken some kind of narcotic that has permanently affected their sex drive. That is, their sex drive has become extremely powerful, and at the moment of orgasm, they start biting their mates to death. Obviously, they don't make love with one another. And that movie, man, that got snapped up right away. I you know, to me, it looked, you know, not like the easiest sell in the world. But there are other films here, you know, very frankly, I don't know, Le Pianiste, a Michael Haneke film with Isabelle Huppert as a Austrian piano teacher who becomes or tries to become involved in a sadomasochistic affair with a student. I only think that will open in the United States if Huppert wins Best Actress here, and then they can sell, you know, the film on that basis. Because I don't think, you know, otherwise movies about sadomasochistic piano teachers are just going to do all that well, even with an art house audience. Huppert gives an extraordinary performance. I would have to say she's the leading candidate for Best Actress here. And I would say if it wins, you will see that sometime before the next Cannes Festival, sometime over the next year.
Well, Henry, I want to thank you for talking to us from Cannes.
Hey, it was my pleasure. I hope the caffeine was working well.
I hope you enjoy the rest of the festival.
Thanks. I'm sure I will.
Henry Sheehan reviews films for Fresh Air and the Orange County Register.